All right, 7:40 on this Thursday morning. That decision back in March and April to shut down schools and keep them closed for the rest of the school year was a difficult one. But I think in retrospect, school officials are looking back on that and saying that was 1,000 times easier than deciding how and whether to reopen schools for the upcoming school year. Joining us right now, the co-director of the Johns Hopkins Consortium for School-Based Health Solutions and the co-founder of the Johns Hopkins University eSchool Plus Initiative, Dr. Megan Collins, joins us. Dr. Collins, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. This is a tough, tough decision that school districts all across the country are facing. Who's getting it right? Who's getting it wrong? What do you advocate for as school officials trying to determine how to go about getting kids back in the classroom?
It really is no tougher decision that I think we're facing as a country right now as we struggle with reopening than how do we get kids back to school. Everybody wants, you know, number one priority is the health and safety of kids as well as the teachers and staff within the schools. The challenge that we've recognized this past spring is that remote learning has been very tough on everybody. And so as we think about how to get back, there really is no one-size-fits-all solution. It's going to have to be different for different school districts across the United States and guided by science and public health experts in terms of looking at local transmission rate and looking at resources that the school systems have to make sure kids and teachers are safe. That includes things like testing and contact tracing and PPE in the schools and ways to ensure social distancing and hand washing. It's a tough situation for everybody right now.
We have seen a number of businesses reopen this summer, whether it's an office building or a store, certainly barbershops and restaurants. How are school reopenings different from business reopenings?
Well, one of the big things about schools, of course, is in particularly when we're looking at our disadvantaged communities across the U.S., is they are a home of a number of resources for our children. Not only are they a home for learning, but they're also a place where kids are getting at least 1 to 2 meals a day. They're a place that kids get their social and emotional developmental experience. They're a place where kids are getting health services at times, and at other times, safety and supervision, particularly if they live in unstable housing situations. So the imperative about how do we reopen schools and how do we reopen them safely is, to me, a very different calculus than businesses like bars or barbershops.
You mentioned that, obviously school districts vary from location to location, and how school officials go about reopening school is going to be different, too. But are there some common things that schools should be considering? Masks, for example, hand sanitizers, keeping the schools clean. What are some things that all schools need to consider as they get ready to reopen?
A great question, and I think these are the things that public health experts have been telling all of us to do, and that is wearing masks. Now, that's going to be very hard for the younger kids, so different associations have different guidelines on it. So the particularly young kids, but usually kids in like third grade and above, we're talking about mask wearing during the school day. PPE for the teachers is incredibly important as well, particularly if they're working with young children or children with special needs who may not be able to wear masks themselves. Having, opportunities for hand hygiene, whether that's hand sanitizer or hand washing stations, is very important. And then having social distancing, so trying to figure out how we are fitting classrooms to keep kids, 3 to 6 feet apart, as well as thinking about the ventilation in school systems. One of the challenges is a lot of school buildings, they may not have up-to-date ventilation systems, and trying to think about what are the short and long-term fixes for things like that. You know, there's some school districts that are talking about if they're reopening, they're going to have classes partially outside. Now, you know, easier to do in areas that there's a more temperate climate than areas that get cold by September, October. But all of these are really important measures that people can be taking. At the same time, we have to think about if somebody has symptoms or if somebody tests positive, how does the school handle that? And how do we get somebody tested if they need to be tested in a pretty short order? As well as how do we figure out for that school, if somebody is sick, you know, what part of the school needs to be considered, you know, potential contacts of that person and which kids are safe. And one of the things schools are doing is trying to cohort or band kids, meaning that they'll put, like, you know, kids almost in pods so that they limit their exposure to the school-wide population. They're only exposed to a smaller number of kids. So if somebody is positive, you limit the exposure beyond your pod.
Yeah, boy, there are so many layers to this. You know, sure, it's difficult to decide how to go about opening school, but then school officials are going to have to track the health of the school community, students and staff, really throughout the school year, aren't they?
For sure. And one of the things, I just give a shout out to teachers and administrators across the country, because I think they're really trying hard to do what is best for children and for the entire school staff and teachers. What's really important is as schools are developing their plans, for them to engage with families. So families know what schools are trying to do, the limitations of what they're trying to do. And the fact that as this pandemic changes, decisions may change and risk calculus may change. And while at one point in time it may seem to make sense to open, at least partially, it may change. And schools will have to be very flexible and adaptable. But in doing that, you know, parents are worried about their kids. Teachers are worried about their health. Teachers are worried about exposing others in their family. So it really has to be sort of an emphasis on engagement and transparency about developing these plans so everybody feels like they're on board with what's going on and they understand the decisions that are being made.
And parents are going to have to realize that they do have options. I mean, at least locally in our district, and I think many schools are offering an online option. So you can have, either the in-classroom experience or the hybrid version, which a lot of our schools are doing. Or if parents elect to, and this is going to be a little more difficult for some families than others, do an entirely online education. That is an option for some schools, isn't it?
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up. So, you know, my background is in ethics and public health as well as medicine. And one of the things that we recognize is that disadvantaged communities across the U.S., whether they're children coming from low-income families, immigrant communities, children of color, they're the ones who have lost out the most during the spring and the school closures. And they're the ones that have the most at risk this fall as well. So as schools are thinking about hybrid options or complete online options, we have to think about kids who may not have the same level of access to internet or to technology or to somebody in the home who may, you know, understand how to use technology. All those things are going to be really important because regardless of how we open, whether it is in person, online, or hybrid, we have to figure out, you know, how to keep our kids learning as much as we can during our new normal.
Yeah, it is the new normal indeed. Hey, Doctor, we appreciate your time this morning. Thanks so much for the insight. It gives us a lot to think about. We appreciate it very much.